It's good to see you out there this morning. You know, we hope that you have been praying for Vacation Bible School. It's an exciting thing. It's a fun thing. It's a terrifying thing if you're me, right? Because I little kids everywhere. It's wow. But it's going to be great. So continue to pray. Continue to lift it up. Let's take just a minute and pray for that, and then we're going to continue on with our service. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share you with kids. There's nothing greater in this world than we can do than to be able to tell a kid that you love them, that you created them, that you have designed them, and that you have a purpose for them. So as we get to do the greatest thing ever this week, we pray that you'll just give us the words to say, be a part of everything that happens, be glorified in every aspect of VBS, from the snacks to the recreation to the Bible studies to the worship rally. Help it all to be about you, and help these kids to get a glimpse of just how incredible you are. For your name we pray, amen. Well, today we're actually going to be in Genesis 1, we're going to be in Colossians 1, we're actually going to be in Ephesians 3. So while you're turning there, we're going to start off at Colossians 1, but while you're turning there, it is time for memes of the week. We have two quick memes for you, and since we just had a cooking thing, which, you know, to be fair, I don't know that I ever want Shelley and Karen to cook for me, so just let the record show. That terrifies me a little bit. But, you know, so a couple of food-related memes. Here you go. So, them, how many push-ups can you do? Me, well, if the orange flavor, I know for a fact I could do 7 of them in one sitting. That's right. Or how about this one, right? Nothing better than a taco truck. So here you go. Don't let anyone tell you tacos don't work miracles. Oh, that's pretty good, y'all. That's pretty funny. All right. So you heard the VBS theme. You've heard that it's this idea of create and empowered and all this other sort of things. This is what I love about God. God has created everything that we've seen. We sang the song about the stars, that if you could put this, if you can hold the stars in place, you can hold my heart the same. We recognize this important thing that God is the creator, right? This is what I love about Scripture. This is what I love about the character of God, because creation tells us a lot about God. The things that we see every single day can tell us a lot about his heart. And I love how the Bible begins, because did you catch how Genesis 1:1 begins? You could say it with me, right? In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. Think about what that says about God. That the very first introduction you get into God isn't about, does he exist, does he not exist? It's nothing like that. It's simply this, that God created. That God has created. This theme this week is talking about how God has created kids to be a lot like him. That's why we have music, we have art, we have all kinds of different things we're going to see. We're going to talk about all this incredible stuff this week. But I want you to understand from the start, being a creator is who God is. It's part of how he is. The very first introduction we see is in the beginning, God created. So here's what we're going to do a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about God, we're going to talk about us, we're going to talk about this a little bit. So I want to, let's start off here talking about God. Let's talk about him being the creator. So we're going to look at Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. And I want to put this, we'll put it up here on the screen for you to be able to see it. It says, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and all things, and by him all things hold together. I love this passage, y'all. Notice we started in Genesis 1 with, in the beginning, God created. Now here you've got, for everything was created by him. Every single thing was created by him. Things in heaven, things on earth, the visible, the invisible. I love this picture that we see of God. When we talk about God creating, what I want you to think here for a minute. I don't want you to say it out loud, but what's the first thing that pops in your mind? If we say, God created, fill in the blank, what would be the first thing that pops in your mind? Now, some of you didn't hear the part where I said, just don't say it out loud, because I heard it from my wife who said the universe. Right down there. Okay, so she threw one out there. She said the universe. Let's throw things out there. What's the first thing? God created, fill in the blank. What do you got? All I heard was mumbling. And all I heard was people talking over each other. All right, so someone from this side over here, what did you have? God created what? Everything. Okay. Heavens and the earth. Tigers. The universe. Everything. Me. You know, now Frida was talking about me being her, not me being me, right? So, what about this side over here? God created what? Okay, we're going to go back to this side, all right? Now here's, all right, I want you to think about this here for a minute. Everything, that includes you. That includes your stuff. That includes your family. That includes everything, doesn't it? And sometimes I think that can be really overwhelming, right? We sang the song Stars that's talking about looking up and seeing the stars, and it reminds you of God, but sometimes that can work the other way around. I remember one of the first guys who was ever on the moon, he said he could hold up his finger, he's standing on the moon, and he could hold up his thumb, and he said, I could cover up the earth with my thumb. And rather than make me feel like a giant, it made me feel small and insignificant. Because sometimes I think that's what happens. There's a writer, this Christian lady named Ginger Cole Baba, and I love one of her writings. She says this. She said, several years ago, I had a crisis of faith. It all began with the Science Channel television program on supermassive black holes, of all things. Basically, the premise was that scientists had discovered giant black holes, like the size of an entire solar system, in the center of every galaxy, and each plays an important role in the creation and the sustainability of that particular galaxy. She goes on further and says, and in that instant, I felt thrust into my own black hole that was very dark and desperate. Wait a minute, how can this God possibly know anything about me? I thought, dumbfounded. There's no personal relationship with him. Come on, he's busy creating galaxies. How presumptuous of us humans to believe that God sent his son to die for us. We're much too insignificant in the whole of the universe. I began to think that Thomas Jefferson must have been correct in his religious convictions. He believed that God was like a watchmaker. He wound up the universe, or in our case, the earth and life on it, and then he let it run its course without his interference while he's off creating other worlds and other galaxies. I never stopped believing in God. I just began to think that God was so giant that he could never be personally involved in my insignificant, irrelevant life. Some of you have felt that way at times. Some of you have been, rather than think, you know, hey, I'm big and important, you see the stars, you see all this incredible thing, you see creation, and you go, God, who's bigger than everything he's ever created, who am I? David said it that way in Psalm 8. He goes, who am I that you would be mindful of me, that you would think of me? Ginger goes on here and she says, I began to walk around in a daze, spending my days at work writing about God, but not sure he was who I was claiming him to be. It became so overwhelming that finally I began purposely and daily to sit quietly with God, just focusing on him. Every day I sat with my hands open, looking to the heavens and asking God to show up. If he was, in fact, who I'd always believed him to be. And the longer I sat, clearing my mind of all the doubts and the arguments, the more I realized he was showing up. Over the course of several months, I continued awakening to God's presence, and I began to press upon my mind these irrefutable truths. And it reminded me that although he created supermassive black holes, he also created amoeba. And male parasitic wasps, which measure only 139 micrometers in length. He created microbiology with all of its clear and direct order. Through contemplation, God made me realize that if he cared enough to create such order with the most microscopic things, then isn't it possible that he has a personal interest in me? That maybe Jesus' words were true when Jesus in Luke 12 says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. And then Jesus said, don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. I'm going to jump forward a little bit further to what she says. She says, when I begin to worry about life circumstances, the economy, job security, finances, family, health, I go back to contemplation. I think about supermassive black holes, and I return to how great is our God. Contemplation helps me view God with the right perspective. I love this picture because I love what you see in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Notice here, he starts off with created everything, right? Begins with the heavens, the earth. He created all of those things. You know, relative to space, the earth is pretty small, right? I've showed this picture before, and I'm going to show it again. This is the size of the Earth compared to a coronal mass ejection from our sun. You see the Earth right up in there? We're pretty small, aren't we? That entire thing is smaller than just, I mean, look at how giant just that solar flare, for lack of a better term, coming from the sun looks with us compared to that. But you know, it doesn't even take the sun to make us look all that small. Did you know that Jupiter actually has northern lights? There was, you know, I even saw a picture this week of northern lights that I think the James Webb telescope had taken. Jupiter on its northern side has auroras that are bigger than our entire planet. It doesn't even take something like the sun to think of all that. Relative to Earth, everything we think about as huge is actually pretty small. When we think about Everest, that feels enormous, doesn't it? You think about ocean trenches, it feels enormous. And they are. But because of their size relative to the Earth, it's actually pretty smooth. Would you believe that the Earth, as tall as Everest is and as tall as mountain ranges are, our Earth is smooth. It's as smooth as a golf ball. It's as smooth as my bald head's going to be in 10 years, right? It is relatively smooth, even with all the mountains, even with all the earth. Let's go back to the passage here, because I want you to see this. God has created all of it. But he goes on here, and he says that he created the visible and the invisible. The visible and the invisible. There was a work by Ann Dillard. It won a Pulitzer in 1975. She wrote this book called The Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. And in this nonfiction book, here's one of the things that she said. She said, in a furtive soil, like a forest soil, there are billions of creatures so tiny that the vast majority of them cannot be seen with the naked eye. In the top 1 inch of soil, there are around 340 different animals under the area covered by my footprint. That means if you walk for a 1 mile walk, I tread on 600,000 creatures, none of which I ever see. This is what Paul is talking about in the book of Colossians, the visible and the invisible. He's created all of that. Those tiny little creatures that Ann Dillard was talking about, man, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You want to talk about cells, right? We're familiar with cells. You learn about that as a kid in science class, right? Your entire body is made of cells. Did you know that in your eye alone, there's about 100 million cells? That's small, isn't it? That's a little tiny thing. There's a bacteria cells that are so small that they cover all of you at times without you even realizing it. In 1 gram of soil, there are around 40 million bacteria in 1 gram of soil. Y'all, a gram does not weigh much. It is much lighter than an ounce. Much, much lighter. And there's about 40 million bacteria in that. Did you know when you wash your hands, this is going to gross some of y'all out. That's all right. I'm going to gross you out anyway. When you wash your hands, you wash off about 5 million bacteria off your hands. So some of you are going to be grossed out if I do this. right? Think about it. Think about it. When you wash your hands, you are washing off 5 million bacteria off of your hands. And you know who created every single one of those bacteria? God, the Creator, who created both the visible that we see, mountains, trees, but he created the invisible, the millions of cells, the billions of bacteria that were around every single day. We could even go smaller than cells. We can go smaller than molecules, right? Molecules are ridiculously tiny. They're themselves made of atoms that are a whole lot smaller. Inside that, we have electrons, neutrons, protons. We could talk about all of these things, like leptons and quarks and all these little itty-bitty tiny things. But that's not the point. The point is this. Everything was created by God in heaven on earth. The visible, the invisible, those things are so small we can't even see. And notice the end of verse 17. And by him, all things hold together. All things hold together. Whether it's down to the visible things that we see in a thunderstorm and all that, or it's the individual, the microscopic bacteria and animals that are too small for us to see, all of it is held together by God. We're going to be talking about that this week with the kids. We're going to be talking about what this means. But we've got to move on, because we can't just stop talking about God. We have to talk about us. And in Genesis 1, you know what we learn about us? That we are created in the image of God. That we are created in His image. Let's look at this here for a minute. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it actually says this. It says, so God made the, I started on verse 25, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man. Say these next four words with me. In his own image. All right. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. That has a lot of implications when you think about being created in the image of God. That has implications about how you see yourself. It has implications about how you see God. How you view things like justice. How you view things like war. Like abortion. Like sex trafficking. Like abuse. It affects how you view worship. It affects how you view the church. It affects how you view missions. It affects how you view vacation Bible school. It affects how you view art. It affects how you view work. And the truth is, we tend not to think of all those implications as we go throughout our day, as being created in the image of God, how that relates to those small little details of our life. But that doesn't mean that they aren't there. And so real quick, I want to talk about four ways that I think being created in the image of God, what that actually means. And the obvious one is that it means we resemble God physically. We literally look like God. That's what the word image literally means. That word likeness that's found in verse 26 there, where you see, according to our likeness, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That word likeness is a fascinating word in the Hebrew. It's a word that means a few things. It means likeness, shape, figure, form, pattern. All but five of the 25 appearances of this word are in poetical or the prophetical books of the Bible. The word first means pattern, in the sense that it's specifications from which an actual item is made. It's a pattern. It's a one-to-one copy is the way that this word sometimes is meant. It's meant to be a pattern. Secondly, it could mean shape or form. You actually even see that like in 2 Chronicles 4:3 that word is used to represent the shape of a bronze statue, right? It's this idea of shape. The third thing that it sometimes means is it's an original after which a thing is patterned. This is where you see like in Isaiah 40:18, one of my favorite verses where it says, with whom will you compare God? With what likeness will you set up to compare him to? That's the picture you see here of that term there. Sometimes that word appears to function merely to extend the form, but not the meaning. Like, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. That's actually where you see in Psalm 58. It says their poison is like the poison of a serpent. So here's what I want you to see from it. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. You know what he's saying, as shocking as it is to say that, he's saying that we look like God. We sometimes think that Jesus looked like us. He took on flesh and he looked like us. But that's back to front. We look like God because we were created in his image. This is part of what this means. But being created in his image is so much more than that. It also means we have the capacity to reason like God in a way different from all the rest of creation. You know, animals can problem solve. You ever see like a rat that goes through a maze and learns how to find the cheese, right? Animals are capable of learning, and it's true. But we have abstract reasoning in a whole other ballgame. It's a whole other world, right? Think about this here for a minute. Think about just the implications of this. Imagine you're playing catch with your little boy or little girl, right? You know, we're talking like a little kid. You throw them a ball, and they catch the ball. And how many of you, your kid said, I catched it, right? Think about that term, I catched it. That's an adorable term to see a little kid go, I catched it, right? You know what you first do is you go, okay, first of all, you caught it. You didn't catch it, you caught it. But I want you to think for a minute the implications about what this little girl who catches this ball is doing. She is taking two things. She has never heard anyone use the word catched in her life, has she? No one has ever said, all right, I'm going to throw it to you, and you need to catch it, right? No, that's... She has never heard that term. So she is taking two things that she knows, caught, and she's taking past tense with ED on it, and she combines those two together. Nobody has ever taught her the word catched, and the little girl's going to do that. You know why? Because she is created with a level of thinking that the rest of creation doesn't have, y'all. This creativity theme that VBS is talking about is so much who God is, and it's so much who we are, because we are created in His image. I know I joke about it, but y'all, I've never seen my dog just be wowed by a sunset. I've never walked out in the backyard and she's just going, "It's so pretty." But I do that. You do that. Why is it that us have that capacity and other animals don't? It's because we are created in the image of God. We reason more like God than the rest of creation does. But the third thing is that we were created to relate like God. Notice here it starts off with, "Let us make man in His image." And it actually, verse 27 ends with, "He created them, male and female." We are created to relate like God. Because God is part of the Trinity, because there's the three in one God, He lives in community and relationship together, and He created us in His image to do the same thing. That's why the very next chapter, when the Genesis passage goes more in depth on it, in Genesis 2:18, you see God says, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. I'm going to make him someone who is going to match." We were made for relationships with other people, and without it, we just simply can't cope. Think about this. There's a reason that solitary confinement is the worst thing you can go through in prison, the worst punishment you can receive, right? You act up, they put you in solitary confinement. Why is that so bad? Because we aren't made to be in solitary confinement. We aren't made to shut ourselves off in our house and not interact together. Because God is a relational being and He created us in His image. We are relational people. You also have to note here that I shouldn't take time to talk about this, but I'm going to. Then in verse 27 it says, "He created them male and female." That is huge. That's a big deal. Both men and women are equally created in the image of God. And that seems obvious to us today, in this day and age that we live in. Because we live in a world that's been shaped by hearing this message for thousands of years. But not everyone has always believed that way. Men and women weren't always considered equal, but they are here, and you see that both men and women are created in the image of God. Plato, that ancient philosopher, oh man, Plato, he had the idea that when a man lives an evil or a cowardly life, he becomes reincarnated as a woman. That's what Plato would say. Aristotle, you want to talk about that? Aristotle felt that women were incomplete men, that they were mutilated men produced by inadequate fathers, right? Well, that's pretty messed up, isn't it? Ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm not agreeing with them. I'm agreeing with God here. And notice this picture. Scripture is emphatic that we are created for relationship and that both men and women are created to be these image bearers of Him. That's huge. That's a big deal. There's one other thing that I think that this means, that the image of God means that we work and we create like God did. Look at verse 28. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." Now what does that mean? All right? Does that mean that God was just done and wanted to wash his hands of it and go, "All right, I'm no longer being involved. It's your mess"? No, that's not what this means at all. Picture who God is. The very first picture you see of God, what is he doing? He is creating. An act of creation, you're seeing his creativity, but you're seeing his work. And part of being created in the image of God means that God has something for you. It means that you have to work and create just like God did. God has created you to do that. Be fruitful and multiply. The very first command ever that mankind gets in the Bible isn't about eating a fruit or not eating a fruit. It isn't about anything else. It's this: be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. The very first command mankind ever gets is take the image of God that you were created in and spread it. Spread it. Fill the earth. Multiply. This is the first command that mankind is ever given. And then rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. And God is saying, "Look, I have something for you to do." So God created this world and he created us in his image, creatures who look like, we reason like him, we relate like him, we reproduce and we rule like him, and he tells us to fill the earth. But what happens is this image of God gets stained so badly, doesn't it? get stained because of sin, get stained because of our poor choices. When Adam and Eve sinned, everything changes, right? God has created something beautiful and something perfect, and we chose the ugly side. We chose the sin side. So does that mean that God then wants to say, all right, well, that's it, I'm done here? It isn't. God set out to make everything right, and he sent Jesus, who came and lived a sinless life. He died on a cross for our sins so that we could be restored back to this picture. That's why our theme verse for this week, we've already studied it, but we want to put it up here on the screen for you again, Ephesians 2:10, that says this, for we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. We've already talked about this verse a little bit this morning, so I'm not going to rehash all that. But I do want to say this. This week, we get to tell kids that God created everything that we see, everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, the visible, the invisible. He has created it all, including you, including these kids that are going to be here, including me, including all of us. He has created us. But he didn't just create us so that we could sit around and do nothing, so that we could sit around and gosh, you know, I feel convicted sometimes. You ever have those moments where you're really lazy and then you feel really, really bad about it? You know, why is it we feel guiltier about being lazy than we do other things, right? Let's be honest. Would you feel more guilty about being too busy or being lazy? Which would you feel more guilty about? Lazy, right? You know why that is? Because we are created in the image of God, and God goes, look, I am an active God. I am doing things, and I have created you to be active and to do things. For some of the people in here this week, that means we get to share with BBS. For some of the people in here this week, that means you get to love on your family. For some of the people in here this week, that means you get to smile at someone at Walmart and make their day better. Some of you in here this week, maybe that means you get to mow a neighbor's yard. You need to let them know that they're not forgotten. Maybe it means you need to call up someone who's struggling with cancer or disease or some other thing and say, hey, I've been praying for you. Maybe it means you need to talk to someone and go, hey, I don't know if anyone told you today, but I want to tell you that God loves you so much. You are not forgotten by him. The God that created the stars, the mountains, the skies, he cares more about you than he does sparrows or anything else. And while he tracks all that, he even knows you so well, he knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of you in here this week, that means you need to share that message with someone else. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And notice, as we've already talked about in the three questions, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. He even made it easy. He paved the road for us to make it even that much easier. So our challenge this week is to look for those good works. To say, okay, God, I am created in your image. You have created everything, and I am created in your image. Now, how can I share that? How can I spread that this week? That's what you're created for. Let's do it this week. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the incredible creation we see. We thank you for the incredible things that you do in our life. We thank you that you have not forgotten us. You know the story behind every tear we've ever cried, as David says in Psalm 56. You know about all the hairs on our head. You know every single thing about us. Those times when I know I just feel like I don't know what's going on with me, you do. You know me better than I know myself. And I am not worthy of that. God, I want to thank you for Jesus, who came to make everything right, who came to restore the image of God that I am created in, that I have distorted. I pray that Jesus will be the most important thing in my life this week, and for all of us in here, it'll be the most important thing for us. Help us to live a life focused on glorifying you this week. Be with us and watch over us. For your name we pray. Amen.